Welcome to another episode of the Pop Culture Abstract Podcast. This is Jay, and right before Thanksgiving, I was able to see the Justice League movie. I'd been kind of hit or miss on if I wanted to see it, but I couldn't pass on the opportunity to see it in the theater. So I got together with my buddy Toner, and we reviewed the movie. We talked about what worked, what didn't, and pretty much everything you could possibly imagine with the movie. You saw Justice League opening weekend, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I saw it the Friday it came out.
And what were your initial thoughts?
Well, I was really looking forward to it, obviously. And I don't get it, man. I just don't get it. Warner Brothers, you got the two biggest comic book characters ever. And I'm trying to think where I want to begin on this one. What's sad is that this is the fifth movie in their cinematic universe, and it's literally going to gross the least amount of money. That's got to send a message that, you're pretty much due, I think, from here on out.
Didn't it get bumped by Coco?
For a second weekend, yeah.
That's crazy.
But you got to look at this. Like when you're dealing with a movie like this, this huge blockbuster, okay, this is supposed to be, you know, DC's answer to the Avengers. And it made, like, was it 93 million? I don't even think it made 95. Yeah, it was like 90, it was, you know, like low 90s opening weekend. Like, what the hell? So clearly, even as great as Wonder Woman was, I people were like, man, this is still too close to, Batman v Superman. Which I think Justice League is better than Batman v Superman, but I mean, let's just be honest. That's kind of a low bar anyway, as far as the movie went.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, knowing all the background stuff with Zack Snyder leaving and Joss Whedon coming on, I think that kind of scared some people away, like the hardcore people.
Yeah, I think so. But one thing that I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but one thing threw me off. Obviously, we know that they spent like an additional like $25 million on what they're maybe changing up or wanting to add. Who knows? And so I knew that Henry Cavill on Mission Impossible 6, the character he's playing, you know, he had facial hair in that movie. So like, okay, because of his contract, his character's got like a mustache, facial hair, whatever, so he can't cut it off. Remove it, you know, with, you know, CGI that out. And now, granted, Cavill wasn't in the movie a whole lot, but it seemed like almost every scene he was in, it was terrible CGI. People were bitching that Steppenwolf was like terrible CGI. I'm like, I thought Steppenwolf was fine. I'm like, look at Superman's face, though. I'm like, that was dog shit. Maybe because I knew it, because you could see it. I'm like, whoa, dude. Maybe it was just obvious. Maybe if I didn't know they had CG, we're going to CGI it out. Because he was shooting that movie. They've been shooting that movie for like a long time. I know it's been in post-production for a while.
Yeah.
With the exception of like the reshoots. So I thought, okay, man, there's going to be a couple scenes where, all right, you know, we have to take your beard and mustache out, whatever. But it seemed like almost every scene he was in, which I was kind of thrown off. I'm like, what the hell? Did you just not like the original script at all or story with what he had shot previously? Because
the guy that played Cyborg's dad said that they did a lot of reshoots and it was almost a completely different movie. And I think that's why a lot of people have been petitioning for a Zack Snyder release so they could see exactly what was changed.
Yeah, no doubt. Because I remember seeing a couple of different, like, I guess it was like set photos or something like that, where Cavill's got a full-on beard and sort of like a long hair, almost like that, you know, the mullet from when Superman came back, you know, in the comics. We didn't have the facial hair, but he had like the long hair.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. And there was teasing that, you know, we're going to see the black suit as well. And that didn't happen. Clearly tell there's a lot of footage that used, or I guess they were like, okay, we'll do an extended, you know, or a director's cut or whatever, extended version, throw all this other crap in. But like one scene that stands out, Ben Affleck is, you know, as Bruce, when he was looking at some type of like holographic projection, which was clearly Supergirl, in my opinion. It was not Superman. I guess it was like he was in the Batcave or something. So I was like, okay. I know that footage was used. There's a couple different things with like Cyborg. I remember in the original trailers and stuff. I'm like, man, they've... Because I'm curious to see what Zack Snyder had done before he had to leave.
Yeah, they said there was... There's something like an hour's worth of footage that was cut out of the movie, and it was a lot of backstory for Cyborg, Aquaman, and Flash.
I'm not dogging it because like it's a terrible movie. I'm not saying it was a terrible movie. But you're spending like well over a quarter of a billion dollars to make this movie. Like they said, the budget's supposed to be, even after the reshoots and some other stuff, like it's probably closer to 300 mil. The plot holes, like with the... with the parademon that's in Gotham City, just for whatever reason.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the movie, there, they didn't even, like how lazy writing or God, I'm like it's like this, it pisses me. I was thinking about this because before you're calling, I'm like, all right, what do I want to touch on? And I just kept thinking about it, and I'm like, the more I think about it, the more pissed off I get. The like Batman v Superman, for example, that nightmare sequence.
Yeah,
which was okay, cool sequence. It made no sense whatsoever. Like all of a sudden, he just randomly starts dreaming or has a nightmare about well, parademons and essentially like a Superman that was kind of like you know,
rogue Superman,
but taken over by Darkseid.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Or because in that one scene, like there's a big old Omega symbol, like in the, like burned in the ground or something like that, and like these parademons like just show up. And it was just so random. It's not like he, it's not like there was a mother box in Batman v Superman or something. Like he may have touched it, you know, or got hit by it to give him some kind of a weird vision of what may come in the future. It just, boom, a random dream. Like, okay. And then here we are in Justice League. And if you watch the extended edition of Batman v Superman, you see that one scene where when Lex Luthor's in the Kryptonian ship, he's like to his shoulders and like this red looking goo type shit. And there's Steppenwolf with these three mother boxes and stuff. So you're like, okay. I mean, had you maybe put that in the original theatrical release or, you know, even maybe throw it in like a mid credit scene or a, you know, post credit scene, just like something. So you got to expect people to go into this movie where we get a random parademon and a scout parademon in Gotham City for like just whatever reason, and unless you've seen the extended edition, you have no idea why that thing is even there.
Well, and even with that scene, I mean, Batman uses that criminal to draw out the parademon and then just lets the criminal go, which was kind of
right.
That's not Batman. He would have left him tied up there. And but yeah, it just the whole scene was kind of out of place.
Right. And I mean, maybe Batman's looking at a big picture kind of thing, like, all right, got a potential alien invasion coming in, but I'll let this guy go. But, dude, I don't know. They're just, I'm trying to think, like, where they go after this. Because clearly they did the post-credit scene.
Yeah.
And, which I was like, okay, cool. That was, like, one of the few highlights.
But again,
I don't know how you're going to have an interconnected universe really anymore. Or, I mean, or these team-ups. I don't know if you're going to be able to do it or maybe have, you know, cameos from these guys. But their cinematic universe is in trouble.
I was going to say what I didn't understand about that post-credit scene was everything was like leading up to Darkseid, and then all of a sudden you have Deathstroke and Lex.
Right.
And it's like, are they just going to let the Darkseid thing go and try to, I don't know, make it a little more grounded? I mean, was that a last-minute change where they decided, well, we're not going to go with our original plan. We're going to change the whole thing going forward?
Yeah, or it was kind of like how I remember we saw like Thanos at the end of the first Avengers.
Yeah.
But then, like, okay, he wasn't obviously the main focus of it by any means. It makes you wonder if they're going to maybe circle back around to that or, yeah, I don't know. I liked all the characters, you know, the Aquaman and Cyborg and Flash. Obviously, we're still hoping their solo movies come out because obviously DC took a different route or Warner Brothers with, you know, introducing all these characters to,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they kind of, it seems like you need to have the solo movies first or have, because you see Flash briefly in Suicide Squad, kind of cool, but he's still in there for, you know, just to introduce Captain Boomerang, so to speak, you know, showing that Captain Boomerang had a experience with a metahuman. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But like the plot holes like that, okay, we're just, Batman's tracking parademons, all of a sudden, they're just there, you know?
Yeah.
Other than him being in that weird dream that made no sense in Batman v Superman, Now they're just there. But the what I did like is that, you know, they have, like, okay, so Steppenwolf came to Earth a long time ago, thousands of years ago. So you had it was cool seeing some lanterns in the movie in that one battle scene when you had the Amazons and the Atlanteans fighting side by side with, they said gods too, which I didn't know who the.
Yeah, the gods were the representation of the Amazons. They had Zeus and Hercules. They showed specifically. Historically, or the Amazons have always been tied to the Greek gods, and so that's why they, every once in a while, they'll have something with Zeus or Ares as a main bad guy that they face. So, yeah, it makes sense that they'd be there for this big battle.
Right, yeah, which was cool, and I thought it was awesome that, so the three mother boxes on Earth, Amazons were, you know, they have one locked away, so that the Atlanteans and just regular men had, the, you know, they split them up.
Yeah.
Here. We don't want to know any of them are. Okay, all right, that's cool. Makes sense. And I like Steppenwolf's look. Like Cyrian Hines is the voice. I thought that was cool. Problem with the CGI of him, but...
Yeah, the voice was good. I didn't care for the CGI.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't stand out. It wasn't, like, bad. Like, the CGI that was weird was when they were in... Were they in, like, in Russia somewhere?
Yeah.
Is that where they were when they were putting together those... Okay, all right. Like, that was... Like, the weird shit that was flying. Like, the... I don't even know what it was. Like, that was bad CGI.
Yeah.
But Steppenwolf was fine.
I kind of felt like he was a lame villain. They he sat there and he handled everyone continually throughout the whole movie. And then Superman shows up and, like, he just completely falls apart. And, like, Aquaman's knocking him around and Wonder Woman's knocking him around where they couldn't do that before. It just, the presence of Superman is all they needed, it seemed like.
Right, yeah. Like, I figured, like, I have something about Steppenwolf, but you would think he's could somewhat challenge Superman maybe physically. He was just, like, manhandling Steppenwolf, which, okay, is fine, but it seems like it should be kind of a two-way street, you know, with them battling each other.
Yeah.
Because he was obviously handling his own against, you know, everybody else.
Yeah.
But also in the trailer, if you remember, he said there's no protectors here, you know, no land, no Kryptonians.
Yeah.
You know, this world will fall like the others. This movie seemed to suffer the same thing, like trailer-wise. If you watch a trailer for, one example I could use is The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Watch that trailer and then you watch the movie, you're like, what the fuck, this is like two totally different movies.
Yeah,
where Justice League, it seems like it wasn't as different, but it just, you can just tell it. I think the trailer was done maybe before the reshoots were or something. Like, I just want to know why or what Joss Whedon did. I mean, obviously I can tell all of it was different because of Henry Cavill's face.
Yeah,
like, it's because I mean, you could just tell. I mean, at times it was like, it was an eyesore, you're like, what, with the facial hair being removed. But
see, I would compare the trailer to Rogue One, where they did a bunch of reshoots, but they used the original footage for the previews.
Okay.
And then went back and did reshoots and changed things, and they said that the PR people liked the look of certain scenes, so they tell them to use them even though they're not in the movie.
Okay, yeah, which I mean, which is fine. I know there's gonna be different like just different takes and stuff. They might, you know, they like, you know, they like the way they say, you know, maybe Batman says this in one take. That's not going to be in the final cut of the movie, which, okay, we would like it for the trailer.
Yeah.
But after seeing that almost all the Henry Cavill scenes were done for, or, you know, after the reshoots, I mean, or what was added, what was the final product of the movie? Like, I want to know what the hell, I want to see a set that was cut out.
Yeah.
Because, hell, even when they brought him back to life, which I thought the way they brought him back to life was cool. I thought that was a cool concept. Because I was kind of wondering, all right, how are they going to do that? Or I didn't know if it was just a matter of time where he was going to kind of slowly heal, you know, on his own. And, you know, because that's pretty much what he did in the comics, right? I'm trying to remember the comic.
Because
I got all those Death of Superman ones, but.
Wasn't the comic where he, like, there was a thing of light shining through onto his body in the tomb and he gradually recharged?
I think that was the, I remember the Eradicator or something like that. I remember they got his body out of the tomb and maybe it was sticking to the fort. I can't remember all the way. He didn't come back to life, I think, in the tomb, I don't think, if I remember correctly. I think they eventually took the body out, and yeah, it's been since like the 90s since I read those.
Yeah, me too.
But so I was like, okay, using the mother box to bring him back. I thought that was cool. I like that concept.
I've gone back and forth on it. I kind of like the concept. But just the risk of what they saw with Doomsday being created.
Yeah.
It just seems like something they wouldn't have done. And I guess that's why they had the internal conflict where Wonder Woman didn't want to do it, but Batman pushed ahead anyway.
Yeah, because I definitely thought about that. Like, saw what happened in that same chamber with Doomsday, and then like, okay, well, you know what's going to happen, and him being not right at first, kind of being, you know, taking on aim, but that, you know, that was cool. So, like, almost the best scene, or like the funniest one of the movies, when, what was it, Cyborg, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman, they're all, you know, on him,
mm-hmm.
and so Flash starts running. You know, I don't know what he was going to do.
Yeah.
So he's running, then all of a sudden, Superman looks to his right and is following him.
Yeah.
And the look on Barry's face, oh my God.
Yeah.
Priceless. It was like shock and then like pure terror, like, oh shit. Like, I've never seen anybody move as fast as me before.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that was great. Flash, that scene, even the one where, you know, he saves the people in the truck. But
yeah.
Then, you know, what does Superman have? Like a full building or like, I don't forget what it was.
Yeah.
That was awesome. But.
I was sitting there in the fight with Superman waiting for Bruce to get up into his face. And right when he's like about to hit him or something, he's like, Martha. And then the whole fight just stops again.
Oh, my God. If they would have done that, I would have just walked out. I would have said, fuck this movie.
That would have been funny, I thought. Kind of a jab at all the fans that were upset.
Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe you can poke fun at yourself, but
the story,
I'm trying to stay on track here.
Yeah, the story felt choppy. Again, like Batman v Superman, where there were little bits and then they jumped to something else. And I didn't feel like I got a conclusion to that part of the story until later on, and that drove me nuts, where it was jumping around, and like there were a lot of things, yeah, I thought they could have done without, like continually showing the family in Russia. I just didn't see anything in that.
Yeah, that made me wonder, like, yeah, I was wondering, I'm like, do they have the mother box in their possession? I'm like, what the hell's going on with these guys in Russia?
Yeah,
that's what I didn't understand. Like, they're focusing that family of three or four in that house.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, as like, do they not know the mother box is like buried in another house or some shit? That's what I was kind of wondering.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now they're just there. Again, I don't get it. Or if there was some type of Easter egg I was supposed to pick up on, I did not pick up on it.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything there. The other story element I didn't like was the third mother box. They use it to bring back Superman, and then they just leave it to deal with Superman, knowing full well that that's exactly what Steppenwolf's coming for.
Right. When I figured they were going to use that, like, obviously he's able to track those things, to, you know, effortlessly.
Yeah.
But then especially once that energy was out to, you know, to bring him back. Obviously, okay, yeah, we got a situation. We just brought a dude back from the dead. We have no idea if he's going to be right in the head or not. But yeah, how you just leave that. Just like, okay, yeah, it's cool. Just leave it over there. We gotta handle this.
But I guess Steppenwolf had to get it somehow, so.
That was kind of, yeah, I don't, that's fine. I mean, that would have get it when, you know, he's, when they're trying to, you know, going for them.
It's, yeah,
like, okay, I can just swoop in and get this without having to deal with anybody. Okay, that makes sense. But because, yeah, it was like nowhere near them. Wasn't it still I'm trying to think where it was.
Yeah, it was in the ship still. The boom tube came down into the ship and he took it.
All right. And like another thing. So I'm assuming that, does the whole world know now that Clark Kent and Superman are the same person, or does nobody in Smallville, you know, Smallville's kind of a small town. Remember the funeral scene?
Yeah,
Superman. Like, pretty much everybody was there. The Kents are well known, and all of a sudden, Bruce Wayne buys the bank that held handling the foreclosure on the Kent farm, and they're walking around like normal.
Yeah,
like this. Nobody realized that this dude was, you know, had been dead for a year. And the scene, I guess he was in Metropolis too. At the end of the movie, he's all, you know, like the trench coat, suit, tie type thing. What the hell's he doing?
I mean,
going back to the Daily Planet, or?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they didn't really resolve the end of the movie all that well.
Yeah, no. And so I'm kind of wondering, like, oh, yeah, guy wasn't really dead. Like, how are they going to explain that shit away?
Yeah.
Is what I'm wondering.
It took a year-long vacation.
But that was another thing that threw me off. Like, in Batman v Superman, they, in that newspaper article, it showed that, you know, Clark Kent was dead. Superman was dead.
Yeah.
It showed Luke in jail, and then they had, you know, like a picture of, you know, Clark Kent. It said one of our own, you know, died. So I thought that was kind of curious. I'm like, all right, well, I wonder how they're going to go about this, you know, as far as future movies go. Are they just going to be like, all right, Clark's dead? Because you can explain Superman coming back. That makes sense. But
yeah.
So how they can. All right. So I'm kind of curious where they go from there on that. I mean, so, they left way more questions than answers. And just like, it was just sloppy. It was a rush to get League out, it seems like.
Which
is a shame, because I thought, for a jumping off point, like, I like Man of Steel a lot. There was a couple things that, yeah, it had its flaws. But I think if you want to create a cinematic universe, you need a good jumping off point. I thought Man of Steel provided that. I thought it was like a solid foundation for that.
Yeah.
But then, and I thought, introducing Batman for the second movie. I mean, that made sense. And I thought using the events for what happened in the first movie to, you know, to bring Batman into the picture was, you know, was good. But I almost think it needed to be solely about, like, Batman mostly. Maybe Batman, and then obviously introduce Lex Luthor as well on how we're, because they're both kind of worried for different reasons about this alien threat, so to speak. That could have been a good way to go about the movie, but so we already know what happened with that. But yeah, it's still going to be sad that Suicide Squad's going to, you know, make more money, I think, both worldwide and domestically,
yeah,
than Justice League.
So one of the things I did like was the actual characters. Wonder Woman was really good. They built on what they did in her own movie and continued with her. So that was fine. The only thing was at the opening scene in the hostage situation, she was moving as fast as the Flash did in the movie. So I felt that kind of took away from the Flash character a little bit. Like, he was unnecessary because she can move almost as quickly.
Yeah, she's moving just as fast as a bullet there, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, multiple bullets, so she's got some speed. Like, I figured she was quick, but I didn't know if she was, you know, compared to Superman and Flash, I figured she was, you know, slow.
Yeah.
But plus, another thing, speed-wise, I think Flash is technically faster.
Yeah, than, he you know, should Superman, be, at least.
But, right. Obviously, Superman can hold his own, but yeah, he's slower than the Flash. But, yeah. I mean, I like Cyborg. I thought the guy, was that the actor's name?
Ray something. I don't remember.
I mean, yeah, I liked him a lot. I thought he had the look and everything.
Yeah. I thought the character was a little bland, and I think that's probably because they cut out so much of his backstory.
Could have been. Yeah, because this is a trailer. They showed him walking around like when he was full-blown human.
Yeah.
I remember he was walking like wearing a Letterman jacket or like he was in college or high school at the time of the accident. But he had on some type of a school jacket.
Yeah.
And I remember there's footage of him also playing football.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. You guys cut out a whole... I know what was supposed to be. Like, I know Zack Snyder got a lot of shit for Batman v Superman, but I'm almost wondering, like, I kind of want to see what his final cut was.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what he was working on before he had to leave. I like Jason Momoa's Aquaman. I thought that was cool. Like, with him, he was definitely broke, you know. I remember reading a review that, like, he was, like, no pun intended, like, very kind of, like, you know, robotic.
Yeah.
I get it. He's still trying to come to terms, I guess, with what's going on, but with him.
I didn't think I was going to like that character, but I actually liked him a lot more than I should have. And I thought he was a better version of the character than what they've portrayed in the comics that I've read. Because in the comics, he's so dry and robotic, but I didn't feel like he was in the movie. And in fact, I was cracking up at the lasso scene where he's sitting there just jabbering away, bearing his soul to the whole team, and then he looks down and he's sitting on the lasso.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. I'm like, he's being really but he didn't seem like he'd be wanting to kind of hold back anyway.
Yeah.
But we started going to Wonder Woman being gorgeous and stuff. I'm like, okay, that seems kind of like I believed everything else he was saying. Then I got to that point, I'm like, okay, he seems kind of a little too honest there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. That was kind of.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
So I like the Flash as well, but I didn't. Yeah. I like Grant Gustin much better as the Flash.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I think I chalked part of this up to this is like very early Barry Allen, where he's still trying to figure everything out, and so Superman is as fast as he is because he hasn't figured out how far he can push himself. I mean, obviously, we know eventually there's going to be time travel involved, but. Right. He hasn't gotten to that point yet. But what drove me nuts was if you watch him run, his legs are going like everywhere. And in the end battle, it really took it out. Like, took me out of the battle because his legs were just, he ran like he was completely unathletic. Which I guess if he's socially awkward, maybe I could see that. But it just pulled me out of the moment seeing him run like that.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. Grant, I would obviously prefer Grant Gustin. But I mean, I think Ezra Miller did. He was definitely funny. I liked him in the movie. But, I mean, you know, I guess maybe just comic relief goes, but I still laughed. God, that was hilarious. Or that was my favorite part of the movie, which I already mentioned, when he started running and Superman looked at him as he was going at super speed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that look of terror on his face. Like, uh-oh. I'm screwed.
He had that good moment with Batman, too, where he's like, what do I do? He's like, save one person. Then you'll know.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the room is just full.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good moment for him. But unfortunately, every time they showed him, they had to slow down everything else. And I wish they could have just shown him running in the background at normal speed for everybody else, but him flying by. It seemed like they spent too much time with his slow motion running, and it just lost the effect.
Yeah, which is cool. So yeah, you do it a couple. You do it a little bit here to maybe start things off or something. But yeah, which like when you watch a Flash on TV, there's hardly any of that slow motion type stuff, or when everything's you know standing still compared to Barry when he's looking around. It's always just him moving and doing things at his pace and stuff, speed. So
yeah, and they could have looked at Quicksilver in the X-Men movies and seen, well, we'll give him one big scene where he goes around and does all this running, and then just leave it at that.
Oh yeah, yeah, that. Oh yeah, like in what?
Days of Futures Past.
Yeah, those two.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was awesome. And then the way he saved everybody in the mansion.
Yeah.
In X-Men Apocalypse, that was awesome. That's pretty well done there. I don't understand how you don't have their shit together. I mean, everybody's griping, like, okay, Batman, just a story for Batman. I mean, he's been around long enough, and there's been so many movies, especially. Like, okay, I don't need an origin story for Batman. You don't need one for Superman. You don't need one for Spider-Man, which I'm glad, you know, with this new MCU stuff going on, with Tom Holland's Spider-Man, we'll get, you know, the quote-unquote origin story of, you know, how he got everything. But you need one for, especially if you're going to start getting solo movies. Like, okay, I kind of know a little bit about The Flash, but we haven't had a Flash movie. I want to see Flash's origin story on the big screen. Especially, you know, I don't know anything about Aquaman.
Yeah.
I literally know nothing about his, you know, backstory or origin story. Well, of course, Cyborg. I mean, I don't know if... I mean, a full movie, like a Cyborg movie, I don't know. That might be kind of hard, or I wouldn't be, like, super interested in that, maybe. I mean, touching on it in some aspect, yes. But, I mean, I don't know. If done well, but, I don't trust anybody right now at Warner Brothers or to even handle that.
There's always going to be the comparison with the Marvel Universe for these movies. And they're trying to do what Marvel did, but they're trying to cut the corners doing it. So we get Avengers, but we've already had two Iron Man movies, a Captain America movie, a Thor movie. They're all set up. So the only like secondary characters you bring in are Hawkeye and Black Widow. And they already knew Hulk at that point. So those two smaller characters don't have that big of a role, but everyone else you already know, you're already familiar with. This one, you know Batman, you know Superman, you know Wonder Woman now, but then you're bringing in half the team where you don't have a background for them, and people don't care about them.
Yeah, see, that's kind of hard, where I have no problem if you're going to try to, you know, blaze your own trail, but your competition is literally built, or, you know, has laid plans down how to create a cinematic universe. I mean, I don't understand how you don't study that and, you know, try to, you know... maybe, like, do what works for you. Like, I'm not saying you don't want to plagiarize the guys. I'm not going that route. But they clearly showed you what works. And, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I'm sure there's other ways to go about it without doing, you know, full-blown solo movies. But whatever they're doing, it's not working. I mean, so far, Man of Steel and Wonder Woman. And I like Suicide Squad. Those are really the only movies they've, I guess, you know, quote-unquote, gotten right, or ones that I really enjoyed, where I was really underwhelmed with Batman v Superman. I left the theater for Justice League. It was the same thing. I left like, Jesus, man. Like, how am I leaving this movie like, okay. I mean, like, I got my money's worth. I was not wowed by any means, you know? Like,
that's kind of how I was, but I left with a better taste in my mouth because I went in with such low expectations.
You know me. I'm the biggest DC homer, man. I'm all about Superman and everything DC. But... And, like, I'm not trying to do, like, an apples-to-oranges comparison or apples-to-apples with Marvel, but look at the body of work that Marvel's got now. I mean, obviously, yeah, they've been doing it since, what, 2008?
Yeah.
You know, we didn't get Man of Steel, I think, until 2013. So, I mean, yeah, okay, so Marvel had, like, you know, 5 years and how many movies, you know, on them already, but, God, they're just not... Man of Steel was a pretty solid foundation, I thought. I'm like, okay, cool, we got a good movie. Not a bad origin story for Superman, a different take on it. I was all in, liked it, and then they just pretty much... You know, Batman v Superman, not good. Suicide Squad, I like Wonder Woman, really good. And then now Justice League, I'm like, okay. Like you said, Steppenwolf was a lame villain. I mean, he could have been so much better. I mean, I mean, the potential was there. They clearly had no idea what the hell they were doing, honestly.
I mean, they took a villain that wasn't even that well known to comic, like, unless you're really, really into DC Comics, you don't know who Steppenwolf is.
Isn't he essentially just like kind of like a general Darkseid army or something like that? Or
yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, they could have very easily been like, well, why not just use Darkseid to come and try to take over the planet?
Yeah.
He would have been a much better villain. He's a lot more well-known than Steppenwolf and would have been a bigger threat.
And they mentioned his name once in the movie. I remember that. They actually say Darkseid. Yeah. Or Steppenwolf says his name. But yeah, then again, when we're talking about the post-credit scene, like, how do you not even show, like, a defeated Steppenwolf either getting berated by Darkseid or almost, like, you know, begging for, you know, another chance of some form of forgiveness or, you know, something.
Yeah.
Like, to just, I mean, to show, like, okay, it may be, you know, a few more years down the road after a couple more movies, but, okay, we're going to be bringing them along.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, whatever movies they got coming next, maybe they'll start touching on that in some aspect. I don't know.
Yeah. So, one last thing to talk about. What were your thoughts on Batman on this?
This is a very good question. I liked Affleck a lot in Batman v Superman, but he, I don't know. Like, it's like he was just...
He phoned it in.
Yeah. You know, Batman, he's pretty much like the coolest... He should be the coolest part of any movie. And I liked how he was in Batman v Superman. I don't know about this one. I'm just underwhelmed by pretty much everything. I don't know, dude. I wish I had so much more praise for this movie, but just some of the plot holes, the lazy writing, and just... I get it. You spent a shit ton of money, but... And you got to put it out there to make some of it back, but I don't know how any executive or, you know, even Joss Whedon, you know, you watch the final cut of this movie and be like, well, yeah, it's good enough to put out there, I guess. We're going to lose some money, which, I mean, the projections were, and it was supposed to be making, like, $110 million plus, okay, which is solid, but shit, even, I don't know, was it the first Hunger Games or one of the first two Hunger Games movies? Those brought in, like, $150 million.
Yeah.
Like, this movie should have, like, guaranteed, like, easily $150 mil, like, plus opening weekend. Which, you know, not breaking any records, but, you know, like, okay, this movie's going to easily make, you know, $400 plus million domestically. Like, this movie should easily be well over $1 billion worldwide, and it might make 700, 800 million, maybe, when it's all said and done. Like, pretty much make Batman v Superman numbers, but maybe worldwide. Not seriously, I think it's going to finish, in theory, it's going to finish last place, unless it's going to have a good, you know, holiday run. But, you know, Thanksgiving's coming on, and it'll be running through Christmas, obviously.
Yeah, I think word of mouth is going to kill anything, though, for it, any momentum.
Yeah, pretty much. It's I don't even know if the Rotten Tomatoes. I didn't even look. I don't look to Rotten for me to judge whether or not I'm going to go see a movie. But a lot of the times I'm looking at a rating, you know, I'm pretty much in agreement with it for the most part. I don't even know what this was. I know it was rated better than Batman v Superman. I think I heard somebody's. So it just makes you wonder what they're going to do. They seriously have to look back. They have to think, all right, how are we going to go about doing this? Or, you know, are the mother of all movies on our slate here, which was Justice League, it's our fifth entry. And it's going to make less than everything we've put out. So, like, I don't know if they go... I hate the term reboot, because seriously, it's like, you just started, you know, how can you reboot again? But unless you just focus on solo movies and maybe get cameos here and there, try to do a follow-up, I don't know, man. It's, like, with Marvel, it's no problem, where they put everything out there in advance. Like, all right, here's our phases... Here's what's coming. Here's the release dates. And you're like, okay, yeah, makes sense. Boom, 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 boom. I know last time we talked, we were ranking Marvel's movies. And hell, I think our bottom four were, what, two Thor movies and two Iron Mans.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
I think what we're going to end up seeing is Flashpoint resetting it all. And then they're going to, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. They are supposed to be doing Flashpoint, right?
Yeah. And it's sad that they
I'll
have to
I'll tell you what, though. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I would love for him to be
Thomas
the
Wayne.
Batman in Flashpoint. Yeah, the Thomas Wayne Batman.
Yeah.
I think he'd be bad. Honestly, I'd be good at that. Oh God, because the Batman in Flashpoint was, especially the animated movie that I watched, it was awesome.
Yeah,
I even showed that to Steve, and there was a scene where Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn went by Yo-Yo or whatever in that animated movie, and he was trying to get information on where the Joker was, and she wouldn't talk. She's like, "Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue," and he whips out, looks like some pliers or something. He's holding it to her mouth, like he's like, "Well, let's help you get it out." I'm like, holy shit, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But you know, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. Maybe Flashpoint, you know, they just undo everything maybe and get it to where it's supposed to be. That could work.
But do you really have faith that they can fix everything?
Oh, no.
No.
No, but I'm saying, like, they have the potential there. Like, okay, look, we have a speedster. We have time travel. Maybe we can make it work. But
they need to get an architect in place to run everything like Kevin Feige does for the Marvel side. And one person to say
something.
Yeah, one person that says, this doesn't make sense. Let's go this way with it.
Isn't Geoff Johns supposed to be that guy? Or is he doing something? Or is he the TV? Or I thought Geoff Johns was some sort of creative, like, control type guy.
He was doing something, but I don't know exactly what his title is or how much input he actually has.
Okay. Can't remember that. Because I remember a long time ago, the only reason I bring it up is when Arrow was first starting out. And the first Injustice video game had come out.
Mm-hmm.
They had a couple different, like, alternate skins and stuff, and Green Arrow's in the game. But the alternate skin was the Stephen Amell's version in the game. And I guess he found that out. He's like, do you already have, like, a voice for this? So can I do the voice? I remember he was talking, and he actually mentioned Geoff Johns by name. It was a Facebook, like, video that he was doing just for his page.
Yeah.
And I guess Geoff Johns didn't approach him because he was like, maybe he didn't think he's going to be interested in doing a waste of time doing voice work for a video game. He's like, well, yeah. It's like, if you're going to be using, like, my likeness and stuff, like, let me voice the guy. So obviously, I guess he's got some maybe creative input or whatnot on different properties. But yeah, because clearly, yeah, Marvel's got their shit together. I mean, I know they've had some, maybe they bumped heads, I know, with certain directors and whatnot on maybe Marvel being too hands-on when it comes to things. Which, you know, that would probably piss me off too, but I mean, look, I mean, they're getting the results. I mean,
yeah, it's working for
even
Marcus.
Their bad movies are making money.
Yeah, it's working for Marvel. It works for Lucasfilms. I don't understand why they're not doing it either.
It's like, part of me is almost like, just let Patty Jenkins do it all. Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, she nailed the shit with Wonder Woman. Just let her, I don't know. I mean, you probably burn her out or have her burn the candle on both ends, but I mean, Jesus, she's the only one that's really shown me any. I mean, I'm not shitting on Zack Snyder. I mean, there was obviously flaws with Batman v Superman. I don't know if I'm really at all at his feet per se. I don't know how much, whether or not he had to bow down to certain bosses or whatnot, but part of me is just like, shit, let her take everything over. Wonder Woman was awesome, and that's what's funny. I'm anxious to see what they do with Wonder Woman now. It's like, Wonder Woman I'm all about now, and I don't even know with this Batman, like, if they're still going to do the Batman solo film or what. I don't know. Like, everybody was talking about, like, it looks like Affleck, like, doesn't want to be in this movie. Like, doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, I watched it, and after thinking about it, I'm like, you know, they might be right.
Yeah.
But then again, I think this movie's, they've been filming this for a long time. Or it seems like it was been going on for a long time. And he was going through his, you know, divorce or, you know, separation from his wife and whatnot. And a whole bunch of shit. So, you know, maybe that could have hurt, you know, his performance or whatnot. But
yeah, and one thing I noticed with him, too, was he looked bigger, not like muscular bigger, just bigger. And I know that there's the meme going around of the Thanksgiving meme of Batman before Thanksgiving dinner, and it's Christian Bale, and then Batman afterwards, and it's Affleck from Justice League. But I nice. Said something to Aaron as we left the theater. I was like, he didn't look as in shape as he did in Batman v Superman, and I'm wondering if it's because he's just done. He doesn't want to do anymore.
It makes you wonder, was he going to rehab or something? Or I know he was having a drinking issue or something.
Yeah, there's something. I don't know.
Like, I don't know if, quote-unquote, review of Justice League, at least from my end, if it's held. Maybe it's an incoherent mess, you know, kind of like, you know, the movie. Which, look, man, have I ever directed a movie? No. Have I ever written a script or a screenplay? No. But I don't get how, but, you know, I do have eyes and ears, and I like movies. You know, I understand what, you know, beginning, middle, end, you know,
yeah,
climax, plot. And every little bit's got, every movie's gonna have plot holes somewhat, you know, like somewhat of an unanswered question, or you do something for a minute and don't go back to it. But when you got plot holes, like I said over email, the size of Gotham City, it's like, come on, dude, like, you gotta have a way of shrinking that hole somewhat or covering that up. And there's just like little tricks they could do. Like, if there's certain things you don't want to touch on, like, you know, or waste a whole lot of time on. Oh, God. Like, you could have done that, like I said, with a mid or post-credit scene in the previous movie or something, or you just spent a couple of minutes on it. Like, just parody one up. Like, I don't get it. Okay. Why? They're here. Okay. They're here. All right. Fine. But why?
Yeah.
How did they get here? So, yeah, man. I hate being disappointed. These characters. And like the powers that be over there at Warner Brothers are just fucking it up. Like, out of five, seriously, you've made, I guess, well, I mean, two quality movies out of five right now. And it's, you know, Wonder Woman and Man of Steel.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to get a Batman solo film, or I know that's still in the works, or, I mean, I don't know. I'm hoping to see, I have faith they're going to rebound, but I mean, you put out five movies and they're not, and only one of them has been really well received. I know, I mean, Man of Steel wasn't ripped to shreds like the other ones, but I mean, I know it wasn't that, you know, that well received, but.
So if you gave Justice League a letter grade, what would it be?
Oh, shit. Let's go. I'll give it a C minus.
Yeah, see, I'd probably give it a C.
I mean, I know I was shitting on it the most time. Yeah, I was. I'm like, it's not an F. Not like a D. I mean, I don't know. Maybe some of the lazy writing and plot holes. I almost want to give it a D, but I mean, it was fun. The fact you'd see all those, you know, heroes on the screen together.
Yeah.
That's obviously awesome. That's kind of like, you know, a little bit of a childhood true, but they've got some serious work to do. Like, yeah. we're not talking Joel Schumacher, you know, Batman and Robin bad, but they need to get back on track or find the track.
Yeah.
I guess like you said, they want to compete with Marvel, or they're trying to cut corners. And it's not paying off. Maybe Wonder Woman works so well. I mean, because you get a brief glimpse of her in Batman v Superman, really. Not a brief glimpse. I mean, we get to see her fight and stuff. I mean, she was shit, pretty much the coolest part of that movie. But then, you know, she gets her own full-blown origin story, and it was great. Which makes me think, like, that's how DC should have gone, as far, you know, giving somebody, like you said, you want to care about those characters, and just kind of shoehorning, you know, Aquaman, Flash, and Cyborg into it with no real bad origin. It's going to be coming after the fact. You know, they're doing it backwards. And I mean, I think there may be some redemption if these solo movies get made, but maybe going the solo route, learn a little bit more about these characters, their origins. Then maybe the next phase will be better. I mean, I have hope. I want them to be great. I don't want any comic book movie to come out and suck. Now, whether you're Marvel or DC, you know, fanboy.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sound like some, you know, internet fanboy like troll, but when a bad movie's put out, it's like, how do you not address it? It's just, it was like so lackluster. Like it's just so average.
Yeah.
Hence, you know, the C minus grade.
Yeah.
Just not, like, I should have left that movie amped up, just ready to take on the world, and I just left like, eh, all right.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was only 2 hours.
Please go to popcultureabstract.com to check out my writing, the social media links, and links to Google Play and iTunes so you can subscribe to the show and rate and review us. A few other links to check out, ijov.net, the Inside Joke Outside Voice Podcast Network. You'll find other great podcasts there. Also check out Podcastland. They do a monthly voting for Podcast of the Month, and you can search for Pop Culture Abstract there and vote for it. You get 5 votes a month. The intro music was Social Damage by the band The Euclids. This week's music is from the band Sun Pilots, and this is their song, Rain.
Roll down the assembly. shadow.